Our Father in heaven, we rejoice that we can be gathered in your very presence as your children to worship you this day. We join our hearts with your children in different parts of the world as they gather this day to express their love for you, their gratitude toward you, and also to hear what you have to say to us. We thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for watching over each one of us, your sovereign undertaking. And we thank you for the many things you have sought to teach us, so that more and more we may be conformed to the image of Christ, that we may be able to respond well to your high calling. We commit this time to your hands, and we pray that you will have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds, to transform our hearts, and help us to live lives that are truly pleasing before you. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 194th message. The subtopic for today, moral and spiritual stature and character transformation, the second message. We have been reflecting on the meaning and implications of the posture of God in truth, and we have noted that the posture encompasses the total approach to life, how we ought to respond to God and His calling, and the posture enables us to fare well in every aspect of our lives. Not only to fare well, but to help us to work out our lives to the very optimum that God desires of us, if indeed we respond well. When we align our heart with the posture, there will be significant implications for every aspect of our lives, and especially the major areas. And today I want to continue to consider with you the crucial issue of moral and spiritual stature and character transformation. Over the years, we have seen that this is at the core center of what God desires and intends for our lives. And the goal God wants us to move towards is the attaining to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. All of us who love the Lord, we would want to fare well in this area, that indeed our lives may be transformed, conformed to the image of Christ. And in the last message, we saw that aligning our heart with a posture is the most effective way to develop moral and spiritual stature. When we align our hearts with a posture, it means God and truth is the foundational basis and the primary motivation of our heart. And that means constantly, each day, at all times, we will seek to deepen in our knowledge of God and our relationship with Him. We will seek to know and to absorb the truth that God has revealed in the Scriptures. We will learn to go through all situations in fellowship with God, learning to see things the way God sees things, and how God wants us to respond and to act according to God's guidance and His enabling. And all these are critical in helping us to nurture our moral and spiritual stature. Each day we will learn to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, learn to walk according to the Spirit, learning to abide in Christ and He in us. And all these are areas that we have looked at in detail in earlier messages. Together with all this, when we align our heart with the posture, it means constantly we are looking to the Lord, we are praying, and we are also nurturing our prayer life. And when we align our hearts with the posture, God will have a lot of freedom to speak to us, to teach us, to renew our mind, to work in and through our lives, and to transform our character. Because we have no personal desires and ambitions outside the will of God. And when this is true in our heart, God will have a lot of freedom to teach us and speak to us. So today I want to continue with some comments on the subject we are considering in relation to spiritual warfare. When we align our heart with a posture and we set our hearts on faithfulness to God and accomplishment of God's purposes, there will be significant spiritual opposition and we will be involved in spiritual warfare. We know that the evil one is set on opposing God and the purposes of God. So when we align our heart with the heart of God, we will face significant spiritual pressure. But we need not be unduly perturbed, because God is sovereignly watching over undertaking, and He will enable us to overcome the evil one. Not only that, this is a context where there will be many opportunities to learn and to grow. However, we must be careful not to be presumptuous, and we cannot afford to be careless. As we align our hearts with the posture and we encounter spiritual pressures, attacks of the evil one, we will learn how to put on the whole armor of God. We will learn from the Lord as we look to Him to learn to discern and also to counter the attacks of the evil one. We will learn what is taking place in the spiritual realm, how God wants us to respond. We will learn how to fight the good fight of faith and live an overcoming life. In the midst of all this, we will learn how to go through life with spiritual wisdom and learning to put into practice all that God has been teaching us. And we will grow in spiritual strength and stamina. Paul exhorts believers in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 19. Let us turn to this passage. I have referred to this passage several times, and we also know the context of Ephesians 6 when Paul says in verse 10, finally, that this is the culmination of what Paul had been talking about, the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes, what has been God's heart even before the foundation of the world, and God's intentions for us in Christ, and how we ought to live out our lives, including being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5. And then Paul tells us the need to be strong in the Lord and to put on the full armor of God, because he knows as we respond to God, as we understand his calling, and we seek to work out our lives in fellowship with God, there will be significant spiritual opposition, attacks of the evil one, and we need to put on the whole armor of God. So we'll quickly look at this passage, and as we go through, I'll make some comments, and we'll see that what Paul is talking about here is closely related to the subject we are considering, how we can grow well in moral, spiritual stature. So Paul says in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. It is important to be strong in the Lord. We cannot be strong in ourselves, true spiritual strength. It is in the Lord, in the strength of his might. So it's an encouragement for us, even as we align our hearts with God and the truth God has revealed, it includes for us to learn how to be strong in the Lord. And this is essential in the context of spiritual warfare. Then Paul says, put on the full armor of God. And here is helpful for us to take note. In verse 11, put on the full armor of God. They are both, it indicates both aspects. One is that it is God's provision, the full armor of God, God's provision for us. The other is our positive response to God's provision. Because Paul says, put on. Who puts on? We have to put on. So we have to put on, but it's the full armor of God. That means we have to respond well a positive response to God's provision, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the evil one. We need to be able to stand and to stand firm in the midst of the spiritual pressures and attacks. And for that, we need to put on the full armor of God. And Paul tells us here about the schemes of the evil one, the schemes of the devil. So it means we need to be discerning, to recognize his schemes, his attacks, and then how to counter them. And of course, as we learn to do all this, we'll be growing in our knowledge of God and his ways, and how to counter the evil one. And in the midst of it all, we will learn, we will grow. Verse 12, Paul goes on to say, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That as we seek to live for the Lord, we must be very conscious that primarily the struggle is in the spiritual realm. Yes, there are also the external circumstances, there are also people and the need to be wise how to respond and so on, including people who may have ill intentions toward us. But Paul wants us to recognize beyond all this, in the realm of the visible, is what is taking place in the spiritual realm, and that the real struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness in the spiritual realm. So that is why we need to put on the full armor of God. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. And as we align our hearts with the posture as we live each day, it's very important for us to be constantly conscious of the realities in the spiritual realm, and to look to the Lord for wisdom to understand what is taking place and how he wants us to respond. That's the only way we can live well and also learn well and be faithful to God. So Paul wrote, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day." The scriptures tells us our basic approach to life, our posture is submit to God, resist the evil one. So both aspects are essential. We must submit to God, but at the same time, we need to take our stand to resist the evil one and all that he seeks to do. And the evil one, what he seeks to do, are always evil, negative things. And even as we seek to do that, Paul says we must be able to stand firm. So this short passage, Paul mentions stand firm several times, because it's easy for us to crumble in the midst of spiritual pressures and attacks. But we must learn to stand firm. And we can stand firm. But we'll see that throughout this passage, it is very clear we can only stand firm when we are strong in the Lord, in reliance on God. Verse 14, "Stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth." If you want to stand firm, we must gird our loins with truth. Having girded your loins with truth. This communicates to us, and is helpful to take note, that Paul began in this way when he says, take on the whole armor of God. Girded your loins with truth. That is foundational. Our lives undergirded by truth, which means the importance of knowledge of the truth, absorb the truth, walk in truth, and become men of truth. And this is vital for countering and overcoming the evil one. If there's darkness in our lives, if we are not walking in truth, then it's very easy for the evil one to attack us and damage our lives. But we are not only need to be careful not to walk in darkness, we must also know the truth. We must know the truth, then we can walk in the truth. We must absorb the truth that God has revealed, and it must become a part of our lives. And all these, we know, are very critical also for nurturing and building up our lives and to grow in moral, spiritual stature. And Paul then goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, very important, and it communicates to us righteousness is the positive moral qualities, the positive moral dimension. We can say verse 14 is wider, and in fact you'll find that verse 14, having girded your loins with truth, has very significant relevance to all the rest of the aspects of the armor. Righteousness, when we know the truth, absorb the truth into our hearts, walk in truth, that is the nurturing of righteousness in our lives. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. God wants us to communicate the gospel of peace to others, but we need to be prepared. Preparedness or readiness. And that means we need to understand who God is, the gospel, and also the realities of God's intentions for us in Christ must become real in our own lives. Then we can bear good testimony to the truth of the gospel. So the preparedness, the readiness, spiritual readiness is very important, so that as we testify to the truth, not only will we be effective, but also the spiritual attacks and opposition that comes, we'll be able to stand firm and not succumb. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith, very important, the life of faith, the shield of faith. But as I've sort of emphasized over the years, and also emphasized in the first chapter on the book Man of Faith, the faith that is effective must be faith that is grounded in the truth. If we do not know the truth, we cannot properly exercise faith. So knowledge of the truth, very important. And also, to overcome the evil one. You see, to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, whatever his form of attack, we can always counter with the truth. Whether it be the evil one trying to attack us through stirring up fear, worry, anxiety, when we know the truth, then we can counter the truth so that we need not be worried, anxious, fearful. When the evil one attacks us, making us feel as if God has deserted us, we know that we can affirm the truth that as we walk with God, He will never desert us. He will always be with us. He's always watching over us. When the evil one attacks us and makes us feel that all is lost, the situation looks so hopeless, we know that we can affirm with the truth that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him. So that is critical. If we align our heart with God in truth, then we know we love God, we are walking with Him, then we need not be fearful, no matter what the outward circumstances may appear to be. So the life of faith, the shield of faith, extremely important, but we must align our heart with a posture. We must know the truth, then we can counter and extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one effectively. So God, our relationship with God, and our knowledge of the truth, and our life based on the truth, walking in truth, extremely important. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet protects our head, very important. We need to be well protected. And Paul says, the helmet of salvation. Salvation, our salvation in Christ. The wonderful salvation that God has provided for us. For us to fight the good fight of faith, it is essential that we fight under the umbrella of our salvation in Christ. For those who are not in Christ, then when the evil one attacks, they are in no position to withstand the attack or to counter the attacks of the evil one. And the salvation in Christ, I've also sought to impress upon you that it goes beyond conversion. It's the wonderful salvation of all that God intends for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the key expression is also in Christ. Our resources in Christ, all that God has provided for us in Him. On that basis, we can have true confidence as we fight the good fight of faith. Paul goes on, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. In spiritual warfare, ultimately, it is the Spirit of God that must work and must overcome. But here Paul's addressing us. He's not addressing the Holy Spirit. He's telling us that we need to take the helmets of salvation and then the sword of the Spirit. That means we need, if we want to fight the good fight of faith, to fight in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us, to grant us wisdom, to empower us to overcome the enemy. There is no other way. Because we are in the midst of spiritual warfare, and the weapons of our warfare must be divinely powerful. We must fight according to the guidance and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So this tells us that in spiritual warfare, prayer is a very, very important aspect. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. As we pray, as we look to the Lord for wisdom, and also as we pray in reliance on the Spirit, then we can overcome the evil one. We cannot overcome the evil one on our own. And Paul says, with all prayer, telling us the emphasis, a very strong emphasis on prayer. The other is pray at all times, continually. We cannot afford to be presumptuous or careless. And it is in the Spirit. So the importance of prayer in spiritual warfare and in reliance on the Spirit. And it is the sword of the Spirit as it moves that will cut down the enemy and destroy the fortresses of the enemy. And then Paul goes on to say, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So Paul here goes on to tell us that when we put on the whole armor of God, and spiritual warfare ultimately is not just for ourselves. First, there needs also to be the consciousness of the need to be alert, to persevere, even in the midst of a lot of difficulties, obstacles, trials along the way. But then, this prayer, and praying at all times in the Spirit, includes praying for all the saints. As we learn to be strong in the Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, then the effectiveness of our lives goes beyond just our own walk with God, but also contributing to the saints in their lives, supporting them, praying for them, including those who are in spiritual difficulties. But it also has to do with God wanting us to learn how to support one another, because not just certain individuals praying for all the others. Here, the putting on the whole armor of God is directed at all believers. So if all of us are also praying for other believers, that means we will be supporting one another. And that is what the Lord desires of us. And finally, in verse 19, Paul went on to say, and pray on my behalf. The utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We can appreciate this from this angle, but bear in mind, these are just some brief comments. This passage on spiritual warfare can be appreciated from different angles, although some of these things I mentioned today involves the central thrust of this passage, major aspects that are important for us in the context of spiritual warfare and what we can learn from this passage. But verse 19, I see here, can be appreciated from this angle, that even as Paul urges us to pray for all the saints, he says, pray on my behalf, that this can impress upon us that even as we pray for the saints, we must also bear in mind, especially those with significant spiritual responsibilities and those in the forefront of the Lord's work. Those who are very involved in the Lord's work, they will face a lot of spiritual pressures. They also need to experience a lot of God's guidance, empowering, enabling. People like the Apostle Paul. We need to especially uphold people like that. But in our prayers for people like that, it's also helpful to bear in mind that it doesn't end with their lives. You see, Paul is also talking about not just praying for him, but he says that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, that is, spiritual service that will impact the lives of many others. And in earlier messages, I've mentioned the mystery of the gospel means at the very heart of the mystery is the gospel, the good news. And the good news is not just how people can be converted. But the good news is of the gospel is that what has been in God's heart before the foundation of the world, all that He intends for us in Christ. And we can say that all that Paul has been preaching, teaching, including all that we can read in his epistles, all that is part of Paul's ministry. And he's asking for prayer support, not just for the spread of the gospel to convert the unbelieving, but also his ministry to believers. So as we learn to put on the whole armor of God, and we learn to fight the good fight of faith, we will grow in moral and spiritual stature. As we learn to align our hearts with the posture, spiritual warfare will be an integral part of our lives. And we must learn how to fight the good fight of faith by putting on the whole armor of God. In spiritual warfare, as we learn to be faithful to God, we will find the evil one attacking us in many, many aspects of our lives. And then we will find the need to make sure that every aspect is right. And as evil one attacks, there are many opportunities for us to come to recognize areas of deficiencies. And there's one major reason why God allows the evil one to attack us. There are various deficiencies in our lives which we may not even be conscious of. In the midst of spiritual pressures and attacks, if our hearts are positive, we are open to the God, sensitive to Him, eager to learn, the Lord will show us various deficiencies, weaknesses, and also various areas that we may think that we've been working at, developing, nurturing. In the midst of spiritual pressures and attacks, it may become more obvious to us that we are still very weak in those areas. We need to nurture them a lot more. We may think we have come to know quite a lot of truth after all these years. But in the midst of spiritual warfare, if we are sensitive to the Lord, we may become to recognize there's so much more we need to learn and to understand. And not just understand with our minds, but the spiritual understanding, the spiritual insight into the meaning of these truths. And then how to respond and to counter the attacks of the evil one. And becomes more conscious, we may become more conscious of the urgency to nurture our spiritual life, the spiritual qualities that God wants us to develop. Paul also assures us that we will live an overcoming life in Christ as we align our heart with God's heart. Again, a verse that I have referred to from time to time, a very important verse in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's look at this verse, and it's good for us to memorize this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. And it's helpful to look at the context. Then earlier verses, as well as in other passages in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the many afflictions and trials that he goes through. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, he talks about afflictions and even burden excessively beyond our strength so that we despair even of life. Many trials and difficulties that Paul and his co-workers went through. It was not an easy life for him. But yet, he tells us, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So no matter how difficult the trials we go through, we can have this assurance of God always leading us in triumph in Christ. We can always be triumphant. There's no situation in which we must suffer defeat and succumb to the attacks of the evil one, including in the midst of very, very difficult circumstances. And sometimes it seems as if we just cannot go through properly. It is feasible. But to take note of the words, just even in this verse itself, that's why I mentioned it's good to memorize this verse. Because Paul says, but thanks be to God, we can constantly have this spirit of gratitude to God for his provisions. It's God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. It doesn't mean we can just overcome. No, it is God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. So this aligning our heart with God is extremely important. Then we will be walking with him according to his leading. So if we walk according to his leading, together with that will be his enabling. Then it will be always triumphant. And always triumphant is in Christ. So this overcoming life in Christ, in him, we can always overcome. The Lord Jesus always overcame, and we can overcome in him. So when we align our heart with the heart of God, we learn to abide in Christ and he in us, we can have the assurance. Not only sometimes we overcome, we can always overcome. But yes, from time to time, we suffer defeat. But that is not that it has to take place. But because there are so many difficulties and so many areas still that we are not so strong and division, so there will be areas from time to time we may fail. But in any given situation, in any given issue, in any specific aspect, it is possible to overcome. So we need not be deterred by the difficulties along the way. And if we learn to align our hearts with a posture, with God, and with the truth that he has revealed, even when we do stumble and fail from time to time, if we continue to persevere, we will continue to grow, even in the midst of stumblings and failures. Just as the Apostle Peter, he failed, but he continued to grow, and able to serve God well. But together with that, let's look at the second part. By the way, this verse that I have shared with you along these lines in times past, but now I want to highlight this aspect in relation to what we are considering today. And also, hopefully, with passing time, more and more as we reflect on these verses, it may grip our hearts and may become more and more real to us in our everyday life, that we can have this assurance of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, not only God always leads us in triumph in Christ, but he says, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. The sweet aroma of Christ. If you look at the next verse, in verse 15, Paul wrote, for we are a fragrance of Christ. The sweet aroma of Christ, the fragrance of Christ. What is that? How can there be the fragrance of Christ through our lives? It is because Christ is being formed in us. We are being conformed to the image of Christ. There's transformation in our hearts. Then we can manifest the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. And it's in every place. That means it is not just at one moment we experience God's working. So he manifests the fruit of the Spirit. Here it tells us this kind of life goes together with spiritual transformation. Our being conformed to the image of Christ. Christ being formed in us. So it's very helpful for us to see all these major areas of truth, how they are all linked together. They must come together. If the spiritual transformation is not taking place, then we know we have not truly aligned our hearts with the posture. God is not having the freedom to work in our hearts. We are just professing with our lips when we say we are aligning our heart with the posture. We are looking to the Lord to guide us, to speak to us. We are seeking to understand the truth, to absorb it into our hearts, and we are seeking to work out. We are looking to the Spirit of God to guide us, to strengthen us, to enable us, and also to work in our hearts, that the fruit of the Spirit may more and more be formed in us. I now want to go on to make some brief comments on this point, that aligning our heart with a posture and moral and spiritual stature reinforce each other. We are considering the relationship between aligning our heart with a posture and moral and spiritual stature. It's helpful for us to note that aligning our heart with a posture and moral and spiritual stature, these two aspects, they reinforce each other. As we align our heart with a posture, we will grow in moral and spiritual stature. The more we align our heart with the posture, the more we will grow, the faster we will grow. As I mentioned, when we properly appreciate the meaning of the posture and we align our hearts with the posture, then we say, yes, I now align my heart with the posture, but there are varying degrees of quality and meaning. And the more we align our heart with the posture, then the faster will be the rate of growth in moral, spiritual stature. And not only that, aligning our heart with posture enables us to grow in every aspect of moral and spiritual stature. In earlier messages in this series, I've sought to impress upon you that moral and spiritual stature, there are many aspects. And sometimes we think we are growing well because some aspects we are making progress. And even if it is true, we are making progress in some aspects, we have to be careful. Whether are we neglecting many other aspects? And even if some aspects are very important, we are neglecting them, it will have a bearing on our lives, and at times, very significant bearing. So we need to pay attention to every aspect, and God wants us to nurture and develop every aspect, conform to the image of Christ in every aspect of our lives. So as we align our heart with the posture, we will grow in moral and spiritual stature. The other side of the coin, as we begin to grow in moral and spiritual stature, it will enable us to strengthen and deepen the quality of the posture. But it's not automatic. It enables us, and we must then deepen. When we have not grown so much, though we align our heart, it may not be so deep. The quality may not be of such a mature kind. But as we grow in moral and spiritual stature, it becomes more and more feasible for us to deepen the quality of the posture and to strengthen the posture further. And when we do that, it will enable us to grow better. So that's why I mentioned these two aspects. They reinforce each other. As we grow, we can deepen our posture. As our posture deepens in quality, we are in a better position to grow better in moral and spiritual stature. And it's very clear, as we read through the scriptures, the thrust of the scriptures is this is the way that God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to grow in moral, spiritual stature. How? By aligning our heart with the heart of God and to avail ourselves of all His provisions, to listen to Him, to seek Him, to seek to understand what He wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. So this is the will of God as revealed in the scriptures. And it can and it ought to be our experience. But for many believers, this is not true. That is why many are living in spiritual poverty, not growing well, after many, many years, still babes in Christ. Remember Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers that he wanted to share with them more deeply. He wanted to give them meat, but they were not able to receive because they were still babes in Christ. So it can remain babes in Christ. It is not automatic. So we must actively align our heart with the posture. But we must first understand what is this posture, and then we learn to align our heart with understanding and with conviction. As I've mentioned, when we understand the posture, it very strongly motivates us to align our heart with the posture and continue to deepen it, because we know that all that we long for in life goes together with aligning our heart with the posture. It's part of the posture, the conviction that as we live in this way, love, joy, peace, the fruit of spirit will be a part of our experience. Fruitfulness, success in God's kingdom, God's blessings, God's approval, and all the assurances that God has given to us in the scriptures for all those who love Him, including Romans 8:28. All these we can now freely receive and affirm our faith that these assurances and promises of God are ours. But we must align our heart with the heart of God. If we still walk according to the flesh, if we do not pay heed to what God has revealed in the scriptures, or we are half-hearted, we read, we agree, but the way we work at it is very minimal, then all the assurances, all the promises, all the blessings that God intends for us, we may not be able to experience them in any reasonable measure. Instead, there can be a sense of condemnation which we are not able to get rid of, because our lives are terrible in the sight of God. And when the evil one accuses us, we have no defense. Yes, there's forgiveness in Christ, but that forgiveness is for those whose hearts are repentant. But we still set our hearts on loving the world and the things of the world. If we allow our hearts to be distracted so that we no longer concentrate on God and the things of God, then we will be very weak and unable to walk properly with God, because we are not walking the light, we are not walking the truth, there's no deep fellowship with God. So, understanding the posture, aligning our heart with the posture with conviction is very important at one point in time, and then continually affirming it day by day. And whatever the context we go through, whatever the situation we go through, we continue to affirm the posture with conviction, with reality, not just words. And even as we affirm the posture, together with that, we must actively seek to respond well to what God desires to teach us in the situations we go through, and also what God wants to bring about in our lives. And at the heart of it is the moral and spiritual transformation. And this is something that we must seek to do all the time, because all the situations we go through at all times, there are many things that God wants to teach us and also to work in our hearts. And this is especially powerful when we go through intense difficulties and trials. Those are the times when we may at times feel especially hopeless, feel hopeless, but those are the times when if we persevere in faith to continue to align our heart with the heart of the Lord and look to Him to strengthen us, to enable us, and to trust Him, we will find God working deeply in us. And the principles of truth we seek to work out, we begin to learn them deeply. So do not be deterred by the trials and difficulties we go through if we are walking with the Lord. But if the trials and difficulties we go through is because of our deviating from the path of truth, then we must correct ourselves. But if we are walking with the Lord, then we need not be unduly perturbed, even though we also have to be careful to be alert and not be presumptuous. In the midst of all this, it is important that we recognize we are weak and we are frail in ourselves. The moment we come into this world, we know that we have the weakness of the flesh. And the evil one is actively at work in this world. There are many temptations, many trials, many testings that we have to go through in this fallen world. And the evil one will exploit the weakness of the flesh and use all that is in the world to cause us to go astray. And he wants to destroy us. So it's very easy for us to go astray and to falter and fail. But we need not lose heart. God has made every provision for us. We've seen just now in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. That we can live each day with a heart of gratitude to God that He always leads us in triumph in Christ. The scriptures makes clear to us, God has made every provision for us. As we align our heart with the posture, not only we can, but we will grow well in moral and spiritual stature. Not only we may bear good fruit, but we will bear good fruit. Not only it's possible to be useful to God, we will be useful to God. We've seen that all that is part of the posture. We can live with this conviction. And after coming to know the Lord, we know very important is to prepare ourselves for eternity. To be fruitful, serve God well, be fruitful, contribute to God's kingdom, and also to prepare for eternity. To be ready for eternity, ready for the second coming of the Lord. And all this, we can have assurance if we align our heart with the posture. A helpful passage for us to reflect upon. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 2 to 12. I'll also go through this passage quickly. In times past, I've also gone through this passage in detail with you, also referred to from time to time. If I remember correctly, I've also gone through this passage in detail when I was covering with you the subject of moral and spiritual stature. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning from verse 2. Peter wrote, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace. Very, very critical. Whatever we can learn from the Lord, benefit from Him, is always by grace. And Peter here says grace, and the other is peace. We also long for peace, and peace, I've mentioned, includes well-being. So grace and peace, Peter says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Not just some experience, but multiply. Abundance. And that is what? In the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So we have to set our hearts to know the Lord in our relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him, in God and in Christ that we can experience the abundance of God's grace and peace and well-being. And Peter says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The divine power of God. We want to experience God's power. And God, through His power, has granted to us everything. There's nothing lacking. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. And godliness, directly that we're talking about. Moral, growth in moral, spiritual stature. So God has provided for us everything that we need to grow in moral, spiritual stature, to grow in godliness, in moral, spiritual qualities. And then Peter says it again, through the true knowledge of Him. That's through the true knowledge of God. It's not outside of, it's not independent of God. God's blessings, what God wants to provide for us, to help us in our growth, it goes together with God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why aligning our heart with the heart of God, whole way we live our lives each day in fellowship with God, looking to the Lord to guide us, to strengthen us, to go through together with Him, extremely important. And the true knowledge of God includes that relationship, the depth of relationship. This must continue to grow. It's in the Lord that all this becomes true, who called us by His own glory and excellence. It's God's provision. And as we learn to walk in this way, to bear in mind God's glory and God's excellence, and that is this great and wonderful God calling us, His high calling, and wanting us also to move in that direction, that His glory may be manifested in and through our lives. And this can only come about when He has the freedom to teach us and to work in our hearts. Verse 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. So there are many precious and magnificent promises in the scriptures, that is true. But I've mentioned from time to time, take heed. These promises of God, they are wonderful, they are precious, they are magnificent. But many of these assurances God wants to assure us goes together with obedience to Him, our seeking to know Him, to walk with Him. If we walk in the ways of the world, if our hearts are not centered, are not focused on God and His call, then we may try to cry out to God to work in us according to His promises, and may find that it does not work. Even Romans 8:28, that believers often affirm as assurances for their lives. We considered this at length in our Wednesday study sessions. I've also covered this in one of the messages. But it's for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. In our love for God, as we seek to walk with Him and work out His purposes, then we can have this deep assurance that God causes all things to work together for us and for all those who love Him and walk with Him. Peter went on to say in verse 4, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So again here, links us to our growth in moral spiritual stature, conform to the image of Christ, become partakers of the divine nature, and notice, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This kind of life, we must turn away from the corruption that is in the world by lust. If we are still immersed in the world and the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh, then it will run contrary to this kind of life that God wants us to have, and also the assurances in this passage as well as in many other verses in the scriptures of God's gracious undertaking. Peter didn't stop at that. He goes on to say, now for this very reason, meaning he's referring to what he has already said, God wants us to grow in moral, spiritual stature. He has made every provision for us pertaining to life and godliness. But now, what must we do? Verse 5. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence. This addressed to us. We must be diligent. It doesn't mean that all this will just take place. We must applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. It's not just diligence, but there must be faith. Faith means our confidence, our reliance. It's not on ourselves, but on God and God's provisions and what God has revealed. And faith means that lively walk with God. We may be Christians, but we may not be walking in faith. We may be Christians, but we may not be walking in truth. We may not be walking in fellowship with God. Or sometimes we walk in fellowship with God, but sometimes we walk according to the flesh. All these are real. All these are lively issues. Peter encourages us. You want to rise up to God's high calling, that God's intentions for us may come about. That's important. We must be diligent in our walk with God by faith. And then together with that, he highlights, supply moral excellence. This walk with faith, very important, the moral dimension, positive moral qualities must be nurtured, and also supply moral excellence means positive moral response in every situation we go through. But all this must be in dependence on God, in fellowship with God, because otherwise we won't be able to live that kind of life. But together with that, and bear in mind the moral there is moral excellence. We must aim to move more and more, deeper and deeper, higher and higher level, in the direction of moral excellence. And together with that, there must be knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of the truth. Then together with that, self-control, verse 6. Self-control, perseverance, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So all this we see has a lot to do with the moral, spiritual qualities. It also tells us there's a need for us to exercise ourselves, but in faith, and our relationship with God. Then in the midst of all this, to know God's provision and what God seeks to bring about the transformation of our hearts, that we may indeed become more and more godly. Then Peter goes on to say, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful. So if you live in this way, we can be assured we will not be useless. And it's very important. Human beings can endure many, many things, but one thing they will find very difficult to endure is the sense that they are useless. If you recognize you are useful, even when it's very difficult, you still can go on. But Peter is trying to tell us, you will not be useless if you learn to live in this way. The other is fruitfulness, and this fruit that endures. And this is in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our knowledge of Christ, our relationship with Him, our abiding in Him, and He in us. If you lack these qualities, you are blind, you are short-sighted. So not just whether you have or not, if you lack. So we need to set our hearts to nurture these qualities. And verse 10 goes on to say, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. God has called us, but we need to respond well to His high calling. And then in this way, verse 11, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. What is Peter saying here, from what I can appreciate? He's trying to tell us, not only you just manage to enter into the eternal kingdom of God, but He says, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Means we are very ready for the Lord and our readiness to enter into the eternal kingdom of God, to carry on our time with God in eternity. We are already in God's kingdom. But here it's talking about eternity. Abundantly supplied to you. God will welcome us with joy. And the words of the Lord Jesus, He tells us, the words are commanded, well done, good and faithful servant. Verse 12, Peter says, therefore I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. Well, some of us may think, oh, I already know all these things. But Peter says, therefore, because these things are so important, I will always, not just I'll tell you again and again, remind you of these things, even though you already know them. But although Peter puts it in this way, he's reminding them is because he knows. Some of these that who have received his letter may have some knowledge of what he's talking about, but the deep realities of this truth, how much do they really know them, is quite limited. And he wants them to know this truth deeply and becomes real in their lives, in increasing depth of reality of this truth at work in their lives. Even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. So he's writing to believers. And notice his words, established in the truth. If you want to be established, strong, firm, stable, it must be in the truth. So they have some degree of experience of these truths. They are walking with God. But Peter is writing all this because he wants them to deepen and that they indeed know these realities in their lives in a deep measure. And this is true for all of us. It's very important that we maintain a spirit of humility. We may have read the scriptures many times. Well, there are some of us who have yet to read the Bible many times. But even if you've read the Bible many times, there are many of these things we've read through, seems quite familiar to us. But how much do we really appreciate them, know them? How real are they to us? and our daily lives, are they conformed to the truths revealed in the scriptures? Are we living our lives in the way that God desires of us? We can summarize it in this way. Respond well to God and His provisions and the way of truth that God has revealed, especially in the scriptures, but also in our daily lives, and we will fare well. All of us want to fare well, but how can we fare well? All of us should want to know. And it should mean a lot to us. If only someone can show me, how can I fare well? Well, as I mentioned, we can summarize in this way. Respond well to God and His provisions and the way of truth that He has revealed in the scriptures and also in our daily lives. He guides us, He speaks to us. You will fare well. Not that hopefully you will then fare well. You will. So then some brief concluding remarks for today's message. When we align our heart with a posture, we will respond well to God and His provisions. And when we respond well to God and His provisions, we will fare well. So how do we fare well? Align our heart with a posture of God and truth, but to recognize their varying degrees, depths of reality. But we must first understand what this means. What's the meaning of the posture? What does it mean to align our heart with the posture? Then we will fare well, not just in some aspects, but it has a potential. The posture has a potential to help us to fare well in every aspect of our lives, including this very fundamental area of moral, spiritual stature and the transformation of our character, including the fruit of the Spirit, purity of heart, and more radiating truth, love, peace and joy. Remember, manifesting the fragrance of Christ wherever we are. And this is also the best way for us to be ready to meet the Lord and ready for eternity. And all these are the fundamental, crucial issues of life. The deeper the response of our heart, and the better the quality of our posture, the better we will fare. The more we learn what it means to abide in Christ and He in us, the better we will fare, and the better we will be in bearing good fruit. And abiding in Christ and He in us is one way of summarizing the meaning of aligning our heart with a posture, because Christ is God and truth. And is a lively relationship with the Lord, walking with Him, trusting in Him, looking to Him to guide, to enable, and to bring about all the qualities in our lives. Let us now spend some time to prepare our hearts. We will partake the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for drawing each one of us to yourself into your kingdom. Thank you for all that you have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the Spirit of God who guides us into all the truth. Thank you for the scriptures wherein you have revealed to us all that is needful for us to respond well to you and your calling. And we pray that you will help us to set our hearts on knowing you and deepening our fellowship with you, our oneness with you, and seeking to understand what you desire to communicate to us through the scriptures. And thank you for the brethren in church life with whom we can learn and grow together. Father, we thank you for the assurance that though we are weak and frail, and there is the weakness of the flesh, and we are living in a fallen world where there are many temptations, trials, difficulties, and the evil one is actively at work. And sometimes the situations that we go through may seem to overwhelm us. We may feel so helpless. The situation may seem hopeless. But we thank you for the assurance that we can always live with a heart of thanksgiving to you, that you always lead us in triumph in Christ, and is your desire to manifest through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We know that this is feasible as we learn to trust you, depend on you, walk with you, and to learn to walk in the light, to walk in truth. We thank you for the Lord's Supper that we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will continue to have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to know what are the areas in our lives that needs to experience more of the principle of the cross, because there are still various manifestations of the self-life. Help us that we may know how to align your heart, how to align our heart with your heart, what it means to walk according to the guidance and the empowering of the Spirit, how to abide in Christ and He in us. We thank you for the many situations you allow us to go through. Help us to be sensitive to what you desire to teach us. Help us to learn well, that indeed more and more we may be conformed to the image of Christ, and that we may bear good fruit and participate well in what you desire of us in your kingdom. We praise you, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Supper has been instituted by the Lord Jesus for all those who know him and love him as Savior and Lord.